Hello, and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the tape series, The Power of the Word. And now, here's Brother John.
Isaiah 59, I don't know if you've ever pondered this question, but I always wondered why it was that so many people would go through a time of revival blessing like this, be in the presence of the Lord, be powerfully touched by the Holy Spirit, but in a few weeks' time, they're back into wilderness experience. And that bothers me because from all the promises of the Word, I see a God who consistently gives to His people. A God who is in no way withholding anything from His people. And yet so many people can walk through the greatest times of blessing and yet within a few weeks can be back in spiritual barrenness and desolation. And that's a rather alarming thing. And so with this anointing, I've been asking the Lord to show me what is the key to maintaining a life in the anointing. How can I maintain the flow of the Holy Spirit in my life? How can I keep walking in the conscious reality of His presence? How can I avoid having the problem of that woman who came to church and every Sunday she would come to the altar and say, "Oh Lord, fill me, oh Lord, fill me, oh Lord, fill me," until one of the elders got exasperated and said, "Lord, don't fill her, she leaks." And I want you to look at verse 19 with me of Isaiah 59. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, in some of the later translations, they put "like a flood" with the standard being lifted up against him, because there are a variation of readings. But I believe it's more accurate, and you'll see this in an understanding of how the enemy comes in, if you read it put "like a flood" with how the enemy comes in. As the New King James and the King James Version translates it, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." What is the standard that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up against the enemy coming in? Because the enemy is coming to steal our inheritance. We saw that with Mephibosheth. The enemy wants to steal your joy. The enemy wants to steal your inheritance of anointing and the presence of God as a moment-by-moment, 24-hour-day reality. And so when we understand how the enemy comes in, we'll understand what the standard is that is lifted up against him. And I believe the flood gives us an understanding of how the enemy comes into us. And I want you to keep your finger in Isaiah 59 and turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 15. "So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away," how? "By the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus, the Anointed One." Earlier in that chapter, we read in verse 11, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Now, How does the enemy come in like a flood? Well, first of all, where does the flood come? Out of the enemy. Out of his mouth. What comes out of mouths? Words. Now, the word of God is spoken of as a washing. We saw that in Ephesians 5 the other evening. That the way Jesus cleanses us is by the washing of water with the Word. His Word is a washing. His Word is a water that cleanses and purifies. What comes out of the enemy's mouth is his word that causes defilement, that causes doubt and unbelief. The enemy is perpetually spewing out of his mouth a stream of water, a flood of water, and it's a flood of words. Amen? You know what it is. You see, right now you're in the midst of these revival meetings and you're having a wonderful time, but next week, when the meetings have ended, round about Wednesday, Thursday, something might go wrong and the enemy is going to be around there and a flood is going to come out of his mouth. Get ready for it. He's not gone away just because you've had a revival meeting. Please hear this. And his words, and some of you have experienced already while you're in the midst of this meeting. You've had victorious times on the carpet. The very next day, something's gone wrong, and the floods come against you. And the enemy's saying, didn't work last night, did it? You know, last night you were laughing uncontrollably, and look at you now, you've just lost your temper. Some Christian you are. Hello? Have you heard him? And the flood comes, and the flood is to carry you away. Now, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. What is the standard that is raised up against the enemy coming in like a flood? You got half the answer, right? What is going to be the standard that is raised against him? What's that? The Word of God in my mouth. See, the Word of God, not spoken by the believer, is powerless. You can know Bible verses from here to Timbuktu. But if you don't speak them, there is no power apart from the speaking. You see, the enemy speaks the word with his mouth, and the only way to counteract him is with the word of God in our mouths. That's how Jesus withstood the enemy. It's not a great mystery, people. And you're going to see it right in a moment in the following verse in that chapter. In Isaiah, well, turn to Isaiah 59. Let's get you out of your misery. And you'll see the standard. Verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your heart. Is that right? My words which I have put in your mind. My words which I have put in your mouth. God never gave you the word to get your mind full of biblical knowledge. He gave you the word to get it in your mouth. Yes. Listen to what he said to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. He didn't say out of your mind. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may be careful to walk therein. See, it's absolutely imperative, child of God, that the anointing changes our speech. That the anointing affects what we say. Because some of us have been framing our world by the negative things that we say. Just like Isaiah the other night. He wasn't saying what heaven was saying about the situation. He was saying the whole earth is going to hell in a handbasket. And then he got in the presence of God and he heard the angel saying, the whole earth is full of His glory. He wasn't saying what God was saying. And so he had to say, oh God, cleanse my lips. I am a man of unclean lips. I've not been speaking what Your Word says. See, you're going to get up one morning and you're not going to feel anointed. You know what you're going to be tempted to say? Well, I don't feel much anointing today. Guess what you've just done? You have spoken contrary to the revelation of the Word of God. Because the anointing does not depend on your feelings. You to jump out of that bed and say, praise God, I walk in the fullness of anointing today. If you respond to your emotions, the enemy will have you defeated in no time flat. You respond by the Word of God, what God has said in your mouth. I'm telling you, one of the big areas where Bev and I have experienced change by this anointing is in the Word of God in our mouths. We speak the Word of God. We speak the Word of God to one another. We encourage one another in the Word of God. We speak what God has spoken to us prophetically. We speak the promises of God perpetually. We speak what God has said and not what we see with our physical eyes. It is just part of our whole lifestyle. We speak and speak and speak. And as Bev is disciple, Kim is one of the girls that Bev has been discipling over this past year in a Bible studies with about 20-something girls that Bev's been doing. And what Bev taught them consistently is to speak the Word of God. Speak the promises of God. Speak the covenant promises. Speak what you have in the Word of God. Speak, keep speaking out what is mine in through the blood of Jesus. Speak it out! God says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants. Descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. What an incredible promise. There are two parts to His covenant promise. You will know a perpetual presence of the Holy Spirit upon you, and you will know a perpetual provision of the Word of God for your mouth. And I've discovered this, if you don't allow the Word of God to speak through your mouth, it's going to have an effect on the amount of anointing you're going to carry on and walk in. I'm just telling you the truth. We are defeating ourselves because we're not speaking the truth of what God says about situations, and we're speaking doubt and unbelief and defeat into the circumstances around us. And like I said the other night, the quickest way to do it is to open your checkbook. Some of you, I mean, the moment you open your checkbook, you're speaking things that are not in accordance with the Word of God, because you're looking at what is there and the bills that have to be paid, and you're starting, oh, we're not going to have enough money this month. You've just spoken contrary to the Word of God. You've just spoken something that is not according to the revealed truth of the Word of God. You see, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and take God's Word in our mouths and war against the enemy who's trying to defeat you in every area. And instead of giving in to what we see with our eyes, instead of giving in to what we perceive with our natural senses, you are in the physical realm. Instead of passing an opinion based upon what men say around us, we first pause and we look at what's happening in heaven, and we hear what God is saying about the situation, and we start speaking what God has said. Remember what happened to Paul? He's in a shipwreck situation. It's in a terrible state. The ship is about to be lost, but in the middle of the night, God speaks to Paul and says, Paul, the ship is not going to be lost. And the next morning, Paul gets up and he says, listen, God spoke to me in the night, and he said, the ship is not going to be lost. And it brought encouragement to everybody because he had a word from heaven. And what's happening is we're coming into church and we don't have a word from heaven. And so we speak to one another in the church and we share all of our gloom and doom and our defeat, and we're not speaking the Word of God about what happens. And guess what happens? The anointing just goes out the door. People, I'm not being mean. I want to preach the truth of the Word of God, because this anointing will be defeated quicker than anything else by the negative words that are coming out of people's mouths. But we can stand up Sunday by Sunday and say, praise God, the anointing in this place is stronger than it was last week. And somebody says, how can you say that? Because God is forever increasing. There is always increase. Of His fullness have we all received grace upon grace. So we know there's a greater fullness here this Sunday than there was last Sunday. And if we could start the service off by announcing that, instead of feeling like, oh, things are heavy here, let's crank up the music and try and get people excited in the Lord and hope the anointing will increase. No, people, the anointing is here because God said it, not because we crank it up. her. Now, let me answer this question. You probably aren't asking it, but I'm going to ask it, and then I'm going to answer it. Why is the Word of God in the mouth of the believer so powerful? And to answer that, I want to turn you to Hebrews chapter 3 very quickly. Boy, I love the sound of that thunder. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your word. God spoke to me last week or the week before, and he said he was going to send copious rains in this place. And I spoke it forth, not because I saw it, but because he said it. You see, and now he's doing it. But if I'd have said, I'm not going to say anything because I might be wrong, and I don't want to look like an egg in front of these people and so on. No, you speak the word of God. If God says it, you speak it with confidence, because if God said it, he's going to do it. Copious rains is what he said. That means abundant, plentiful, copious. Glory be to the living God. Shoo. Hebrews 3 verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, let me just take a little time over that. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus is anointed as the apostle and high priest of our confession. What does that mean? First of all, as the apostle of our confession, he is the one whom God sent out. Apostle means a sent out one. He was sent from God with a particular mission. God had given promises to Abraham, covenant promises. But because of the unbelief of Israel, a covenant of works, a covenant of law had been given that in the meantime, which had to be dealt with by Jesus. He had to come to take the punishment for all the failure of man to fulfill the law. He had to come and fully satisfy the demands of the law. He had to take that and fulfill that covenant in his body, taking it, nailing it to his cross, Colossians 2 tells us, so that, listen to this, the promises of God given to Abraham might be given to us who are the heirs of Abraham through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is sent from heaven by the Father to be the apostle of our confession, to establish the basis upon which we can believe the covenant promises, and we can take those covenant promises in our mouth and we can confess them to God, and they will have heavenly power and heavenly currency. The apostle, the apostolic office in the church is one of foundations. It's one of establishing. So Jesus takes care of the foundations and the establishing of the covenant promises on behalf of us. Through his death on the cross, when he rises from the dead, we have the absolute assurance that because of his blood that is sprinkled on the mercy seat, every promise that God gave to Abraham and God gave to Jesus as our covenant head is guaranteed to be mine. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, every promise in him is yes. As many as the promises may be. Woohoo! In Jesus, they are yes and amen. Listen to this. To the glory of God through us. You see, until those promises are yes and amen through us, there's no glory to God. And God is waiting for a people who will lay hold of his promises and who will believe that Jesus made every one of them a yes from heaven and say amen to them and see the promise fulfilled, and that glorifies God. He's the apostle of your confession. He established your foundation and your basis for entrance into the Father's presence and confessing the word that he has spoken. Now, the second thing is this, he is the high priest of our confession. What does the high priest do? the high priest goes into the presence of God in the tabernacle with the sacrifice of the blood of animals in order to present it before God for the atonement of the sins of his people. But Jesus has already taken his blood into the heavenly sanctuary, says Hebrews, and he has sprinkled the mercy seat. God is reconciled. We have freedom of access before God. And now, what do we come into God's presence with? Confession. And Jesus, the anointed one, is the high priest of my confession. That's why praise is so important. Because praise needs to be, man, and cut out praise music that isn't a confession of the Word of God. When I come into the presence of God and I'm confessing the truth of what He has revealed in His Word, Jesus is my high priest, takes my confession and He takes it before the Father and presents it before Him, and that confession, if it coincides with what God has said, is guaranteed of fulfillment because Jesus is the high priest of my confession. His blood has been shed. He's acceptable on my behalf, and whatever He presents before the Father is granted to me in Jesus' name. It's pretty powerful. Now, what does confession mean? The Greek word means homologia, which means homo is the same and logia word, to say the same word. So when I come into the presence of the Father and I start speaking, Jesus, my high priest, is listening for words that coincide with what God has said. Oh God, I'm such an unworthy wretch of a sinner. Nothing happens in heaven. Doesn't coincide with what God has said, because God says you're a saint. Oh, I'm so unworthy, Father. Doesn't compute in heaven, because God says you're accepted in the Beloved. Come on, people. You'll begin to understand why your prayers aren't getting answered and why they're so boring to you and to heaven. Listen to me, the only prayer that avails in heaven is a prayer that is speaking the word that God has said about your situation. So going into His presence and confessing need doesn't compute. Going into His presence and confessing, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory, that computes. That's material for my high priest to take into the presence of the Father and present on my behalf. Do you see what we need to be doing? See, and a lot of our praying is expressing our opinion about the situation and what we'd like God to do. And God says, how about just discovering what I've already said I'd like to do about your situation, and just come and bring that to me, and you watch your situation be taken care of. He's the high priest of my confession. He's the apostle of my confession, so I know it's established in heaven. I know that He was sent from God, and He was sent to establish the covenant promises on my behalf. He was sent as the seed of Abraham to make the blessings of Abraham available through faith in Jesus Christ. And now I can have all the blessings of Abraham by the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 3:14. All those blessings are mine, but God's waiting for me to come to His throne of grace with the confession of the word in my mouth. All right, now turn to Hebrews 4. This gets gooder. Boy, Hebrews 4 is a marvelous revelation, the whole chapter. Let's start at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. The greatest temptation you are going to face, and the greatest spiritual battles you are going to fight, are going to be in the area of holding fast to your confession of what God has said. See, we read in Galatians 6 earlier, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if We faint not. See, there is a very real danger that the writer of the Hebrews expresses in Hebrews chapter 10, where he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. The word confidence means boldness in speaking, freedom of speech. What the enemy wants to do is he wants to clamp your mouth shut from speaking what God has said. Some of you have experienced the intense battle. I've experienced it in times of intense assault. And it's the most incredible thing, and some of you will know exactly what I'm saying. When the Spirit of God is stirring within you, trying to get you to confess the Word, it's like you can hardly get the words out of your mouth. It's like the enemy is standing there in intimidation with all the demons of hell. He's daring you not to confess the Word of God. And he's saying, look at your circumstances. How can you confess the Word of God? It's not working. Come on, just don't confess the Word. I mean, he intimidates you. He doesn't want you to open your mouth and say, although everything is in the mess, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. God alone is my trust. How many of you have experienced that kind of warfare? When it feels like he's out there, and I mean, you know, he's fighting to keep you from confessing the Word, because he knows when you start confessing the Word, breakthrough is going to come. Intense warfare to get you to cast away your confession. Cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So he says, let us hold fast our confession, speaking the Word of God. Woo! Now listen to this. He says earlier in that book, in that same chapter, he talks about the gospel that was preached to Israel. But listen to this. Please hear this. But the word that was preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let me tell you where your mixing bowl is for mixing faith with the word. There's the beater. This is where you mix faith with the Word. It's when you confess it. That's why he says, hold on to your confession. Come boldly. All right, look at the next verse. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, how do we come? Yes, boldly, but how else do we come? Holding fast to our confession. See, you can't come boldly and say, okay, God, here I am, bold. The high priest is saying, give me something, give me something. I'm bold. No, he's just said you hold fast your confession because you've got a high priest. So when you're coming to him, you come holding fast to your confession. Wow! That's what, look at it, it's together there. Because you have a high priest, he said, let us hold fast to our confession. Well, because he is the high priest of my confession. So when I come to the throne of grace, he's saying, give me a confession. Come on, give me a confession. Give me the word of the Father. Give me something to take into his presence.
Oh, Jesus, I'm so tired. It's not an easy road. We are traveling to heaven.
That's a lie. The word says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that grows brighter and brighter until the full day. If you keep confessing that it's a miserable, difficult, it's not an easy road, guess what? That's what it will be to you. But if you'll confess the word of God, oh, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Woo! You know what Hebrews says there? So that we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Well, where do you want to say that? Well, I want to say it in God's presence. I want to come to Him and say, Lord, You have said You will never leave me nor forsake You. And so I come boldly before Your throne of grace saying, You are my helper. You are my helper. Your word says You are my helper. And so, since You're working on the problem, excuse me if I go to bed and have a rest. Casting all your care on Him. For He cares for you. Cast it on Him and then go to bed. That's what we learned two Sundays ago. Brother John got it in his spirit. I'm telling you, he's got it in his spirit. Goes to sleep. Well, you see, if you've just agreed with God, you've offered up your confession, guess what's happening? God's working. Because you know what? He made the promise. My word shall not return to me void. How does it return to Him? Does He speak His word and bounce it off the earth like a satellite dish and goes back to heaven? Here comes His word and then it returns. No, the way it returns to Him is in the mouth of His children. He speaks it and I return that word, and He says, the word returned to me will never be void. It will never be ineffective. It will accomplish that which I purpose, and it will prosper in that whereto I send it. Child of God, you've got to get hold of this. You've got to hear this. Oh, Brother John, sounds like you're into this name it and claim it business. Bless your religious head. What I'm saying is this, God has spoken a word. His word is on behalf of His people. Jesus has come as my high priest to establish that word and then to act as high priest of that word. And if you want anything from the Father, ask. How do you ask? You ask in Jesus' name. Well, you've got to ask something that Jesus can take before the Father. And let me tell you what He can take before the Father. Anything the Father has said. So if the Father said it's for you, grab it and go into His presence and say, Father, You have said. And Jesus, your high priest, immediately goes and says, Father, You have said. And the Father says, yep, it's granted. Now, here's the problem. Don't cast away that confidence. Hold fast to your confession. Because, listen, we've looked at it right now. The Word of God is like a seed, and it takes a while to come to fruition. And what happens to most of us in the beginning? Oh, we confess it boldly. Yes, hallelujah, praise God, bless His name. Yes, it's coming. Hallelujah. And then 2 weeks go by. Well, yes, I think it's coming. Yeah, maybe it's coming. Oh, I'm hoping it's coming. Well, I pray it's coming. And 4 weeks go by. Well, I really thought it was coming, but I'm not sure anymore. We're great beginners, but some of us are poor enders. We just lose heart because we become weary in confession. That's the whole message of the book of Hebrews. These Hebrew Christians were getting weary. We're getting tired. They were wanting to give up. They were wanting to go back to Judaism. They were saying, this serving Jesus is not as fun as we thought it would be. Since we started believing, guess what's happened to us? We've been thrown into prison. We've had our possessions taken away from us. We don't like this anymore. Let's go back into the security of Judaism. And what the writer of the Hebrews is saying is there's no going back. There's nothing to go back to. Judaism is gone. It's gone. It's gone. There's no sacrifice for sins there. Jesus is the only sacrifice for sin. He is the fulfillment of it all. That old covenant is obsolete. You can't go back. Listen, people, there's no going back. But what needs to happen, and this is what I'm praying for, an anointing tonight to fall on many of you. Because I know that there are some of you sitting in this room here that have heard a word from heaven in past years. But years passed and there wasn't a fulfillment and you started to let go of your confession. You became discouraged in the confession. Some of you got a word for the salvation of loved ones. And in the beginning, man, you were so sure that God was going to do it. And you've prayed and you've believed and you've confessed and you've prayed and you've believed and you've confessed for many years. And it looks like the situation has got worse. And guess what has happened? You've become weary in coming before the throne of grace with that confession. And you've just abandoned that confession. And listen to me. The Spirit of God wants to stir up the Word of God within you tonight and stir up the prophetic promises that He has given you and stir up the promises of His Word so that you again lay hold of them, that you again take hold of what God has said and you again come boldly to the throne of grace and you say, God, I'm sorry I let go of my confession, but I'm renewing a grip on that which You have promised me, that which You have spoken to me, and I'm coming before You with all confidence and with all boldness to speak that which You have said in days gone past. I am confessing that which You have said is true, and start confessing the Word of God that He gave you. Listen, I'm telling you, that's the way to see the power of God manifest. What happens to us is we pray, confess a few times, nothing happens, and we roll up our sleeves and we do it in the energy of the flesh. The church is notorious for that because we can't wait for God's fulfillment. We can't wait for God's timing. And so Hebrews says it is through faith and patience that you inherit the promises. Hello? We don't mind the faith. The patience part is the thing that we don't like. But I'm telling you, people, please hear this. There are great and wonderful and mighty things that God has predetermined and predestined for this church and for every life in this church and for every member of any different church in the city. God's purpose is in this world is through His church. God wants the glory of His church to excel in such great glory. He wants His church to shine in the city and be a center of power in the whole city of Roswell. And many of us, what has happened is there were days of glory in the past and we held on to the promises, and then difficulty arose. The enemy fought against the Word, and some of you have just been about to let go of the promises. And the Spirit of God wants to stir up those promises. Because I'm telling you, the anointing goes hand in glove with the Word of God in your mouth. This is the covenant, God says. This is the new covenant. My Spirit who is upon you, and My Word which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth. And that's why I've been stirring up Brother John and Sister Tony all of these days that I've been here, to lay hold of the prophetic utterances, to lay hold of those prophetic words, to keep on believing the prophetic words, to keep on speaking the prophetic words. I continually read the prophetic words out loud before God, because I want my high priest to hear what God has spoken, because God has spoken. And so I speak out those words out of my mouth, out of my mouth, out of my mouth. His Word in my mouth. Not in somebody else's mouth. In my mouth. Woohoo! Do you get it? Do you see the power? We've let other people do our confessing for us. But it's time for us to start walking the halls and start saying, God, You spoke a word, and I'm not going to cast away my boldness and my freedom of speaking of that which You have spoken. I'm holding fast to my confession, and I'm coming boldly before You with the anointing upon me and with the Word of God in my mouth saying what You have spoken, Lord. And I thank You because You said it, it shall be so. And I'm just resting in faith, believing that it will be manifest in Your time. Shoo. Now let me tell you, when a church rises up in the Word of God, in boldly speaking the Word of God, I'm telling you, there's no limitation to the anointing that is going to be released in that place. See, let me tell you, I know that there's power, still so much anointing that God is waiting to release on me because of what He has spoken in the prophetic Word. And so those areas that I'm not yet walking in, I keep on confessing them. For example, when I pray for healing, you know what I keep telling my Father? That He said in a prophetic word, when you pray for the sick, I will heal them. Now, I'm not seeing 100% yet, but I'm reminding Him all the time when I pray for sick people, He said, when you pray for the sick, I will heal them. And that coincides with Mark chapter 16, doesn't it? You pray for the sick and they will recover. So I'm not saying, well, I don't see many getting healed, so I'm just going to back off. No, I keep on confessing the word. See, what God has said is going to be fulfilled. Stand to your feet.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.